talking about. Father, gracious Father, may your word of love and life flow this morning into the hearts of the strong. And I pray especially that you give this one of us the revelation of all that Jesus Christ has done for us at the precious cross of Calvary. Father God, that we may know that what you think is because of your love for us. Give us a revelation of the love of God this morning. Let your love be such really revive. Thank you, Father, for your love for us. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God in the name of Jesus. John 3:16 tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. How long you have been a Christian, the love of God will never go stale. Amen. You may be serving the Lord. You may have known the Lord for 20, 30, 40, or your whole lifetime of years. But the love of God will never, the love of God for you will be fresh. And we want our love towards Him to be just as fresh. This morning He's speaking unto us that we may love Him with an all-consuming love that we have loved us. When He gave His only Son to die on the cross for us. And this morning, we want to consider how through the love of God we can face the pressure of His life. God knows that each one of us face different situations, circumstances, and pressures of life. But no matter what you are going through, whether it be a pain in your family, whether it be a broken heart, whether it be a grief caused by someone you love, whether it be a problem of financial need, no matter what pressure you are facing from God, that from God comes deliverance. No matter what pressure you face that comes from the world, not from God, that comes from the devil, from God comes the delivering power within your spirit. And no matter what kind of situation you face, you may have thought that you are the only one facing that problem. Your pressure, your circumstances cannot compare to that which Jesus went through for you. What you go through is not even one drop of what Jesus went through for you. All the pressure, the denial, the betrayal, the mocking, the abuse that He faced on the cross of Calvary for you and I is the greatest pressure any man or woman on earth ever faced. You and I may feel that on certain areas in our lives. But Jesus has to take the pressure in His spirit, the pressure in His soul, and the pressure in His body. This morning we will look at the Word of God, at the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22. We will also refer to Mark 15. And we want to see how Jesus, as our example, There are some things that Jesus did for us that is on our behalf as a propitiation. That means He did it for us so that we don't have to do it. He carried it for us so that we don't have to carry it. He carried the pain on Him so that we don't have to carry pain. He carried sicknesses on Himself that we don't have to be sick. He carried the curse of poverty so that we don't have to be poor. There are some things that Jesus did as a transaction for us so that we can go free. But there are some other things that Jesus did that is for our example that we can do like He did. And may God grant us the discernment to know the difference between the two. There are some things that Jesus did for us that we don't have to go through. There are some things that Jesus did and showed that we may do the same thing to you. And this morning we will consider the area where Jesus is our example, where Jesus is the one to show us how to take the precious in our life. How to take the precious through the love of God in our life. God is love. And those who want to know God must know what the love of God means in your life. The love of God is shown in its fullness at the cross of Calvary. Some of you may say, but what has the love of God to do with my financial need? What has the love of God to do when here is this problem I'm facing?
And the Lord is it.
The Bible tells us in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28 verse 1 to 14 that all these blessings will come on you if you will hear the voice of the Lord and obey His voice, obey His commandments, obey His statutes. Obey the commandments of God. You know the commandments? Commandments.
Commandments.
To obey the commandments of God, we will have all the blessings in Deuteronomy 28 verse 1 to 14. And there's so many, many commandments of God. So many of them listed in the Bible. Now, to obey the commandments of God according to Deuteronomy 28 verse 1 to 14 means that we will have prosperity. You shall be blessed, it tells us that. In a field, in a city, your storehouse will be full. It tells us that we can have health. That the sickness that is on the world will not come on us. We will have life in God. And in the new covenant, with eternal life in God. These are all practical blessings. But when Jesus Christ came, there are so many commandments. He took all the commandments, put them together, and said, this is the one main thing you should do. Love God. And love your neighbor as yourself. He said that if we keep the commandment of love, we would be keeping all the commandments. He brought it down to one point, one word, L-O-V-E, love. By love, we keep all the commandments of God. What a revelation! Now you put those two truths together. If I keep all the commandments of God, I have prosperity, I have health, I have all the blessings of God, life, divine blessings, everywhere, spirit, soul, and body. Now, if to keep the commandments is just to keep love, that means when I love, I have prosperity. When I love, I have healing. When I love, I am keeping all the commandments of God. So that is why your relationship with others can determine your health or your sickness. Your relationship with others can determine your wealth or your poverty. Your relationship with others can determine whether you have a blessing or a curse. How important is love? I knew in Luke chapter 22, we see how Jesus, through the love of God, kept all the commandments of God. How through the love of God, He showed how to react and to take with the love of God every pressure that came to Him. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, there are seven areas of pressure that He went through that are common to all men. And Jesus will show us how He took those pressures. Chapter 22, in verse 47 and 48, while He was still speaking, behold, a multitude, and He was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near to Jesus to kiss Him. But Jesus said to him, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? He called him Judas. In Matthew 26, verse 50, He called him friend. Jesus took betrayal with kindness. For the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 13, love is kind. You and I may have people, usually unbelievers, who may have betrayed your very secret that you shared with them. The hurt you feel, the disappointment that overwhelms you, the anger. But Jesus thought nothing of them. Here comes Judas to betray Him, the one whom He has loved, the one whom He has washed the feet, the one who is given that sop that He dipped in the wine, the one who He has appointed as an apostle, the one who has lived with Him, eat with Him, heard the close teachings that He gave to His disciples. And here He comes to betray Him. And Jesus said, friend, my friend, what have you done? There was no hatred. There was no anger, only kindness. Kindness with sympathy and compassion towards what you have done. And number two, we find that Jesus Christ, in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14, verse 50, the Bible tells us that they all forsook Him. And that they refer to the other 11 close apostles of Jesus Christ. And Peter and all the rest of them had told Jesus, the old man will forsake you. We will not forsake you. We will not forsake you. When this same multitude came, they all forsook Jesus Christ. When the pressure comes on your life, sometimes even your friends desert you. When you're down and out and low to the ground, your best friend forsake you. Are you going to say, I give up on God? Jesus did it. But many Christians begin to backslide, even at number two. Just because somebody stumbled there, just because they love all alone, they turn their backs on Jesus and go back to the world. They can't even stand that pressure when our Lord Jesus has done it for them. Think about it, if our Lord Jesus Christ could stand alone, no one to encourage him, no one to stand by him, no one to hold his hand, no one at all, the ones he has loved forsook him. Yet because of his love for you and me, within himself and in the Lord, he stood without wavering. Without wavering. There's a storm coming upon the world. In the last days, the children of God are going to live more holy and holier lives. But the children of the world will be more and more wicked. You haven't seen wickedness like you have seen yet. More will come because the last days of the hour is short. But those who are holy will demonstrate such holiness. Those who are filthy will demonstrate the most awesome field of human sin possible. In the last days, the light will be very powerful and bright, but the darkness will be dark. So dark, like in Palestine, you could almost cut a chunk of the darkness and take it home with you. And God is looking for men and women who have accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior to say, I will make a stand though the pressure comes from the world. Though the world goes more wicked, more sinners go down. Everything goes down and more wicked. Your friends despise you. The world mocks at you. I will stand as the witness of my Lord Jesus, who loved me and stood alone for me. If Jesus stood alone for you, can you stand alone for Jesus? Can you stand alone for Jesus? You can, because he stood alone for you. Nobody was around him but his enemies. Yet he stood alone. Don't throw off your Christian life and backslide just because everyone forsook you. Though the world may fail you, yet God will not fail you. Though your friends may leave you, yet God will not leave you. Though your family, your mother, your father, your husband, your wife, your brother, your sister, your children may forsake you, yet God will not forsake you. And you will stand alone in God. God will bring them all in one by one. Every day they come. If you don't give up the Christian life, stand in that pressure. When forsaken, Jesus too, a lonely God. And he prayed for those who forsook him. He knew they were going to forsake him. In the Garden of Gethsemane, John 17, Jesus prayed for them. He prayed for each one of them in John 17. What is your reaction when you're forsaken? Do you pray like Jesus prayed? If you have the love of God in you, you will pray for them and not turn your back on God. But turn your back on the problem and turn your face to God and pray for them. Number three, as the pressure begins to mount upon our Lord Jesus, in the Gospel of Mark chapter 14, verse 55 to 61, Jesus, when he was captured, was taken for trial. This was what they did to him. This was what they did to him. Gospel of Mark in chapter 15, chapter 14, chapter 14, Gospel of Mark. When they took him to the trial in verse 55, and the chief priests and all the council took testimony against Jesus to put him to death. Here was a trial. Jesus on trial for you and I. And they sought for someone to witness against Jesus. And they found none. Then in verse 56, for many bore false witness against him, but the testimony did not agree. Verse 37, some rose up and bore false witness against him. There were people who dared to stand up against our Lord Jesus and say some things that were not true about him. False witnesses, testimonies that do not agree. When you question one, they say one story. When you question the other, it was another story. Their testimonies did not agree. In the book of the law, the Bible says that two or three witnesses are necessary before judgment can be passed. Here you can't even find two that can agree. They do not agree at all. Added to that, they will lie. About our Lord Jesus Christ. And finally, when the priest who was filled with religion and hate, if you are filled with religion without God, religion without power, you can have a false kind of zeal. Zeal for the traditions of men. Zeal for the things of men. But it's a very cruel kind of zeal. When you become more caught up with how things are done and how these are done and forget about the love of God, you have a religious zeal without God. And religious zeal can kill. It was what caused millions to be killed in the Crusades long ago because of religious zeal.
And the high priest, filled with zeal and hatred against Jesus, could not find any testimony. There was no way he could condemn Jesus.
He spoke to Jesus and said, "Are you the Christ, the Son of God?" And Jesus said yes, he saw his look. And the priest said, "We don't need any more testimony.
We don't need any more testimony. Let's kill him and get rid of him."
Number three, Jesus faced injustice. When the power of the hammer goes down, it was not a just sentence. Some of us have faced injustice. Every one of us will face injustice here and there. Because you're not living in heaven yet. You're living in a world filled with devils, demons, and men who do not know God. As long as you're on this earth, there will continue to be injustice. Until human beings turn back to God and get born again. Only God is a true judge. And from time to time, some of us have faced the pressures of injustice. It's not fair, you say. It's unjust. How can this happen to me? Why did God let this happen to me? It's unjust. Injustice. You resort to your own strength. Or what is sometimes? You're tempted to turn away from God. You say, "Why didn't God do something?" You could not take that pressure. But you know how Jesus took it? You know how Jesus took the third kind of pressure? You're right. Silence. As the lamb who was taken to be slaughtered, there was no guilt found on his mouth, no sin found on his lips. Every time when they said something that was not a truth in his trial, he kept silent. When Jesus went on trial, every time they said anything that has no truth and was a lie, he kept silent. He didn't bother to defend his own right. If he didn't, what should we do? Have you not forgotten that God is the Avenger who justifies you? Amen. He's the justifier. When you start defending yourself, you have pride. When you start reacting, you have anger. When you turn against the Lord, you do not have the word in your life. But when you have love in your life, you have confidence and faith in God. When injustice happens to you in your private life, in your public life, in your social life, in your family life, if you will listen to your spirit inside you, there comes a strength to keep silent. You know, sometimes it's as hard to keep silent. It's hard to keep silent. Because the first thing you want to do is scream at somebody's head. If possible, and even bite off your head. Could you keep silent, husband, when your wife just treats you this wrong? Or do you snarl at her and the lion when you came out? Not the lion of Judah, the old lion. Or why sometimes when you face a bit of injustice here and there? Because everybody's not perfect yet. With a tiger and you come out. But children to the parents, or even in our working life, and in justice happens, what comes out of you is anything else but the love of God comes out. You need to follow the example. If anything else but the love of God comes out, you need to follow the example of Jesus. It is an art to keep silence. And silence, get under the anointing of the Spirit, is at the heart of it. You know something? When people try to convince you of something you have not said, your silence convinces them more than your words. Sometimes when your loved ones get angry and say something not right, when you become the lion, you become a tiger. And you end up, you have to try to put you almost behind bars till the time of repentance comes forth. There is no conviction. Both need to repent.
But when one party is just the only thing that he says, I'm just.
And you just keep silent. Your silence is more powerful a conviction to them than the world. Your words that try to justify yourself could not convince you. To run of them like water running off the dark bed. Doesn't go there. But if you let the secret of Jesus and the same flesh of the blessing was to have the love of God so strong that he could just take all the chances. Look at that strength. He makes the high thing more miserable than when he makes it anything.
And when Jesus said something,
it was only when the priest said something to him. And you know what he said?
Anything that he said that was a lie and there are no truth beyond it,
destroy
it. But when the priest said, are you the Christ of the living God? That is a fact, that's the truth. That is God's truth.
Jesus said something. And it was so powerful.
The conviction of the Spirit went through all the whole room that night
to convict them.
And although you may read how the high priest saw his throat,
how many people did this because he could not stand the conviction?
He could not stand the conviction of the Holy Spirit. He had to do something.
How undignified of him was that he spoke in public. And people under conviction will do all kinds of things. They will say, they will look here, look there, look here, look there. They're trying to find a way out. Look at the power of silence that Jesus used to convict them, to convict the heart. We have to do something before we close.
Number four. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, when all these things were happening, Peter, who was following afar off in verse 61 and 62, while the trial was going on here, over on the other side, far away near the coal of fire, Peter, keeping himself warm, was being challenged as to whether he was a Galilean. And while he was there, a man came to him and said, you sound like a Galilean. And Peter said, no. The second time he came, yes, you are. The second time he became very angry and said, no, tell yourself. I don't know what sort of noise he made, but he was certainly quite loud. And finally, the third time, when the man said, you are one of the Galileans, Peter began to curse
gold with all kinds of heavenly language. And said, no, I don't know me. What did you say? No, I don't know me. He said, you cannot take pressure. In the Christian language, I'm not going to take pressure. You have to learn something. Because character is what will last you in heaven. Christian character. It is a precious jewel. So you bring the Jesus to heaven. Your Christian character is really in Christ.
And when Peter was cursing me, I don't know him, I don't know him.
Jesus on his side looked at him and looked at him two verses he wanted to do. One look. And two people were saying,
I don't know him.
He saw Jesus on the corner of his eye looking at him. There is eyeball to eyeball contact.
I don't know if I don't know.
And he remembered what he was saying. What kind of look did he just give? It was a look of love. Look of love and compassion. And that look for conviction to Jesus. He wept, he cried. A good man broken down by one look. You know how hard men are. You don't cry that easy. One look from Jesus. And he was melted at Father. He ran and ran out from the room. Number four, Jesus faced a denial. Have you ever had people say that to you? Some of us may not even have taken this kind of pressure. But Jesus and friends will say, I don't know you. People who we have faith with love, I don't know you. At that time, when it's more important to say, I don't know you. Jesus Christ responded with love. He told Peter, he used a look to him, a look of love. But the Hebrew was talking about how one day he was in one of his relatives' things. You know how his relatives don't know God, they really can be relatives. And every time he goes back, his relatives will come and say all kinds of things. Da 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 He comes fire and machine gun and just shooting him from the house. And he just kept quiet, power of silence. Number two, he just looked at her eyes and just pray quietly and just went for her. And then he was smiling and he said, he looked at him eye to eye and said, I'm sorry, I don't know what I said. Yes, I know. Later on, he came to know the Lord. He told him, you know, when I did that to you that day, and when you never said a word, when all you did was look at me and I could see the love of God in your eyes. I couldn't believe that. Are you? I can remember that. You know, one touch can really be powerful. One look was very powerful. Very powerful. So the next time you are under pressure and you think about the quarrel, please get lost. Or if you are on the receiving end, give the look of love. It changes a lot. Number five, Jesus Christ said something even more awesome. Yes, some of us have not faced before in such a day as you, but the very thing is that Gospel of Luke, chapter 23, 13 to 63 and 64, 62 and 64, 22, 63 and 64. Now the man who helped Jesus mocked him and beat him. And having blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, Prophet, who is it that struck you? Oh, I have come to Jesus, innocent like a lamb, responding in love, they took him, they picked him up, struck him, spit on him, put a crown of thorns on him, the blood running through him, put stripes on him, and he never said one word. Number five, Jesus responds to the pressure of physical abuse with silence. Remember, it is our Lord Jesus who said that the one suffering on the Christian behind the people's face. And when the disciples see the human nature to respond violently to violence. So that when they came to capture Jesus, Peter drew the sword and when the Christ brought his sword, he did say, Jesus to put it down. You know what? Jesus said, I've been called by the angel, 12 angels. Just one angel in the Old Testament could wipe out the whole army. Jesus said, I could call 12 angels. 1,000 angels of angels. One word, and the angel could not be here. But he would be no more. They come to be wanting to take a cross from your heart. And the love was so strong in him, and you please look. You could do what you wanted. Some of you have treated me very unkindly. There were times in your life when you were very discouraged. You feel something to give to you. It is almost like you think you know. And some of you have done things with Jesus and you think, Jesus could never accept me back. You do not know the heart of Jesus. You could be one of those soldiers who were beating you. And if at that moment you had said, Jesus forgives me, you would be the first one to hold you and love you. You could even be that soldier that took that knee and put the very nice stripes on you. And yet, if that very soldier had said, Jesus forgives me, he would still have been the first one to do it. He would still have been the first one. When you do fall in this sin, when you can be discovered in form, don't run away from God. Run to God. If you run away from God, there's no one else who can help you. Run to God. Run to God. For God is able to help you. What would you do if people do this thing to you? If you have the love of God, you will respond to a view with love. Silent love. Now love is an action, love is a word. Love silently comes. other than one of them. And number six, Jesus Christ on his cross was mocked and abused in chapter 23. Verse 35 to 39. All the people standing under the cross, mocking, saying all kinds of things. If you are the Son of God, come down. Exactly like the temptation of Satan. The Satan said, if you are the Son of God, you, Satan, speaking to them now. If you are the Son of God, come down. Saying that thing against him. In the Gospel of Matthew, mocking him. Saying, if you are the Son of God, save us. Save us and save us too. Mocking at him. Jesus responded and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. There was no pressure to have to create that form in us. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Later on in the Gospel of Luke, one of the criminals began to realize that he had a conviction. You know, when you keep showing the love of God, you keep showing the love of God, you keep showing the love of God, although it seems there is nobody to see, but there are hungry hearts here and there who will see the love of Jesus in you and one day respond. And when you go to heaven, the person will come to you and say, you know, it is because of such a time, such a day, that I saw Jesus in you, that I am here now, and you may be thankful. When you keep showing the love of God in under all circumstances, somewhere, someday, the river of love flowing up to you will touch at least those who have your heart open and thirsty to you. And right next to him was a criminal who began to realize and said, Lord, remember me. And Jesus said to them, you will be with me forever. Oh, you never know. You never know who the heart is touching, the eyes that are watching your life. God wants you to have a perfect home in your family. A perfect relationship, a perfect sentiment in a working place. Everywhere you are, in your school, everywhere God wants you to have a perfect sentiment. You never know the lines of his touch by your example, as you show them that Jesus is in you. The same Jesus who took all the pressure is in it for me, and I can keep on loving. And loving. And finally, number six, Jesus responded to mocking and criticism with conviction. How do you respond? You know, every human being has at every point and at some point in their life in criticism. How do you respond? Do you say, Father, forgive them? Do you have the love of Jesus? You see. But number seven, what's the greatest pressure? I tell you, men may reject you, your friends may reject you, your loved ones may reject you, your wife, husband, or children, or father, the mother may reject you at a certain point. Human beings who may reject you. But the greatest pressure on our Lord Jesus Christ was the when the one whom he loved so much, when the Almighty Father God, whom he has loved and came to serve, when because our sins were put on Jesus Christ at the cross,
and the Holy Father cannot stand still. When for a moment in time, a period of about 6 hours, even when it was in the noon time, in the afternoon about this time, when the sun was supposed to be at its brightest and clearest, and the day to be at its hottest, the clouds and the heavens were dark like the night. Because the Father God, who is holy, who could not stand still, had to turn his face away from our Lord Jesus for a moment of time.
That was the greatest pressure he ever took on you.
When you're in the 6 hours on the cross, the Father rejected our Lord and let him be condemned so that you and I can be free.
Most of us died in 3 days. He was smitten
of God.
And this pressure was so much for Jesus, because he never found anything like that before. He has been in such close fellowship with the Father
that his spirit cried out and said,
"My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" It was the greatest pressure he ever took. When the Father God forsook his inheritance,
it was very hard for the Father. It was very hard for Jesus.
But oh, during that time when God forsook him,
Jesus still reached out to him.
Jesus still loved God. His love was pure. Would you love God in all circumstances? Would you love God even without any possession? Would you love God if you had no one in the world? Would you love God for who He is and not just for what He can bless you with? We do know the truth that God does not want us to be in poverty, that God does not want us to be sick, that God does not want us to be forsaken. It is the blessing of God for our lives to have all and every need of our supply. But yet, deep in our heart, your love for God must be because you love Him for who He is and not for what He can do for you. You know Jesus' attitude to God. Come heaven, come hell, come whatever it be. Whatever it be, Father, into thy hand I commit my spirit. Now in the Bible we have a story in the Old Testament in the book of Job, where Job had everything taken away from him by the devil. It was not God who took it away, but the devil. And Job had problems because he had fear. He said, "The things that are great fear has come upon me." If he had fear, he opened the door. And Job also, number two, was self-righteous. That is why his problem came. In the end, he repented with sackcloth and ashes. But in all these things, one, let's not just emphasize all the bad points about Job. There's a lot of bad points. But one good point he had, he said, though he slay me, I will yet trust him. Now what he didn't realize was that God doesn't kill and destroy.
But one thing he had was that his heart was yielded to God. And he would not let the Lord go. His back bones were in right on faith, his arm was tightened, his ear. But at one point he had learned from him that under all circumstances, learn about the patience of Job. I will yet love him. When things got hard and the hours get dark and lonely, when friends forsake you and the pleasure come and it is turned on a great heat, turn to the Lord and say, I will yet love you, Lord. The only difference between you and Job is this. Job did not know he was a devil. Because he was in the Old Testament, he had no revelation. The Bible is a revelation. Jesus came to reveal God and to expose the devil. The Old Testament, they didn't know the devil was a problem. But in the New Testament, you will know that under all circumstances, you can love God. Love God. Turn to Him. And Jesus, at that point of revelation, He says, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. He cried in a loud cry. He said, it is finished. The greatest pressure is yours. The greater the pressure you say, the greater the resurrection power for you. The greater the pressure you take, the greater the resurrection power demonstrated in you. God can only keep that which you commit to Him. The more you yield to the love of God to take every pressure, the greater the resurrection power will show you. So great was Jesus' pressure! And so great was his reward that God refused him to exalt him and said, his name shall be above every other name. He who has descended to the lowest part of the earth ascended to the highest part of the heaven because of the love of God and for man. With bow of his in prayer, every head bow and every eye closed. You have heard the message of the love of God, Jesus Christ, what He did for you on the cross. Some of you here who have not known Jesus Christ as a personal Lord and Savior, the Spirit of God is speaking to you right now where you are. God's Spirit is looking out to you. Jesus is calling and speaking unto you now. Say, would you accept me after all that I have done for you? Would you receive my free gift for you and my love for you? If you have not received the love of Jesus into your heart, you have not received Jesus as your Lord and Savior at any time in your life, if you are not sure if you die right now that you will go to heaven or go to hell, you're not sure of what will happen when you die right now, you need to accept Jesus as a Lord and Savior and receive assurance of salvation. Every body is idling. If you're saying in your heart now, right now, say, Jesus, I want you to be my Lord. I want to receive your love. I want to accept you, Jesus. I receive your love, your free gift for me, Jesus. Right now, right where you are, very quickly now, as the Spirit of God is moving, put up your right hand and say, I want to receive you, Jesus. Put up your right hand. Put up. I'll see that hand. God bless you, brother. Any other you say, I want to receive you. Yes, I see that hand. Yes, I see that hand. Yes, any other who's got to join with you, we accept Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. And say, I want you, Jesus, to be my Lord and Savior. Jesus is still calling on those many here. Say, would you receive me to be your Lord and Savior? Would you receive my love? Yes, you can put on your hand. Right now, let all sing unto our King. And as you sing that song, all to Jesus, I surrender.
And then the Holy Spirit was given to him, you know me. I want those of you here who have indicated and said you want to receive Jesus as the Lord and Savior. Jesus who has done so much for you today. If any man will confess me before men, I will confess him before my Father who is in heaven. And if right now, in the presence of all of us here as witnesses, you say, I will confess Jesus as my Lord and Savior right now. I'll make a public confession and say, I want to receive Jesus. Those of you who lift up your hands right now, you think that all you need to do is surrender. Right now, I want you to step up from where you are, you sing that song, and come right to the front and the altar here. If you came with your friend and you have never come before in a crowd like that before, you can come.